Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour, and Happy New Year to everybody. We're doing our first show today of the year, and I believe we are continuing a discussion from last year about the astral body and the difference between the astral body and the physical body. So we're going to be getting into that shortly. I want to invite you to call 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Do press 1 so we know that you're in the queue and want a reading. If you don't press 1, I won't bring you on the air. Let's see, what else? 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation. And callers can follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. I had to remind myself, I had my mind blank for a moment. I had to remind myself what we want to tell people when we're on the air. Follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. You may join us on Facebook and on Twitter. And those accounts can be found under our Blog Talk Radio profile, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. So we're finally getting an opportunity, Neil, to get a little bit more deeply into this topic. So that's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. Yes. Because, I mean, you could talk forever about the astral body. As far as the silence. Well, it's overwhelming. That there's so much to talk about in terms of when we talk about the concept of the human body, the physical body, you could talk for hours and hours and hours, weeks, months, years about the physical body and all of its parts and medicine and everything. And that, having said that, the cosmic body, the astral body, is not at all similar to the physical body. They're two different worlds.
Completely. And of course, less studied, at least, you know, in science than the physical body, for sure.
Less studied than science, yes. I mean, that isn't really, you can find reports and you can see written material about the cosmic body, but it's all esoteric literature.
Right, but it's much more subjective. The, you know, body is the physical body. I mean, it's like real, 3D.
Yeah. People like Leadbeater and people that have talked about it.
Well, yes, of course.
To some extent. Because you have to get out, you have to move yourself into a realm where you are no longer interpreting existence as a physicality, as a physical thing. You're now getting into the elements of faith and spirit and soul and things like that. The only thing that the astral body does differently than talking merely about the soul or the spirit, as we would speak about it in more conventional terms, is that the astral body is an energy that travels throughout time, that keeps coming back to the earth, that has had experiences, past lives, and that is, in essence, the operation of it is through chakras. Now, there are chakras in the human body, but you're never going to find them. They're not a legitimate source of location. There's no legitimate source of location there. No doctor, nothing.
I mean, don't they have pictures that they take with the specialized cameras in order to see, I guess, auras? I don't know if there's chakras that are picked up specifically. I mean, I'm not really.
Yeah, but again, that's not going to be recognized.
Of course not.
The closest thing that's going to be recognized in medicine is when you do an MRI or you're experiencing some other scan, you inject radioactivity.
A CAT scan, a bone scan.
That's about the closest.
An X-ray.
The only place where a doctor may legitimize something like a cosmic essence, which probably is the wrong terminology even to a doctor, is when you get into the mind. Or somebody assuming that, yeah, we have souls. But even a doctor who perceives the essence of a soul in a human being or a spirit, there's no operation that can be performed on the soul or the spirit. It turns into a form of attitude and feeling and thoughts. So a doctor will say, you know, a good attitude will help you. What are the? But there's no method in medicine that we can measure in terms of attitude. We have to go to the psych for that. The psychiatrist,
psychologist, or psychiatrist.
And then that can be an element that can be explored within the brain. And then there are scientific studies in regards to emotions and feelings and how attitudes affect the body and all that kind of thing, chemically and biologically. So then you get into the idea that the closest thing to the soul or the spirit is going to be something to do with the mind. And then the mind has its concepts that it dreams up these things. There's a soul, there's a spirit, whatever. So it's the only place, the closest place we can get out to the outside of a body is in the brain, is in the mind. Now, in regards to the cosmic body, the astral body, we could stay within the parameters of medicine by examining the pineal gland. And the pineal gland is basically also what captures, again, a non-medical term, the third eye. But when we get into the pineal gland and we examine that, we're also looking at what is the function of the pineal gland. I think in medicine there's not much really to say about its
function.
Isn't
it a hormonal gland?
Yeah, but it's not really a main star of body. It's tucked way there in the brain. It's just doesn't play a predominant role in terms of the significance of the body and the functions. It is there. So is a tailbone. And so is an appendix. But it doesn't, and it does have obviously some function.
Yeah, in fact, if you go online, which I just did, it's this little blurb on it on healthline.com states, I mean, it obviously secretes hormones, we already know that, but on the whole, its function isn't fully understood, which is interesting that science really hasn't determined what the function of it is other than the
hormones.
Fact that
it's hormones. What are hormones? You know, when you get into the aspect of what is the connection between hormones and the human body? What's the statement? I mean, in terms of our system of how everything works and interacts within the body's own, and we're designating the pineal gland as secreting or issuing hormones.
Well, they're chemicals that travel through the body and
exactly, and they travel.
You know,
adversely,
produce
they travel to different.
They affect our sex organs. They affect our growth.
So
things like that.
Yes. So we get to the position that when we're dealing with the pineal gland secreting hormones, now we're dealing with a kind of a more of an esoteric language of medicine, still within medicine.
And the pineal gland regulates sleep, they think, because it secretes melatonin, which helps with sleep. So now we're getting into the idea of the dream state.
Exactly.
And this is connecting it to our
exactly.
of the third eye astral body concept.
Exactly. And the way that we operate, that we have to, we're a human being, so we have to be awake. We have to sleep. We have these cycles that we go through. We weren't created on a level to where we don't need sleep. Every living thing on the planet needs some form of sleep.
I need more sleep today.
So that mysterious quality of sleep, and then from there we can get into things that are obviously still within the realm of medicine, such as dreams. So when we get into the realm of dreams, which there's vast literature on that, And then Freud, a psychiatrist, had The Interpretation of Dreams, which was a monumental work. And the phenomena of dreams, how we dream, which is still within the brain. And the imagination form of the brain, in terms of the dream state, a doctor would just say, well, the soul and the spirit came from man's imagination, woman's imagination. It came from a human being's imagination. It was dreamed up. They presented a storyline to it to justify the origins of existence. And because we are all human beings, there's a certain uniformity in terms of the creation story. There's a flood, there's forms of creation, there's a battle with gods and goddesses. All of this pertains to the original conception that human beings think beyond logic, beyond what's reasonably established as a physical measurement. And so when we get past that and we move further into the realm of imagination, well, anything goes, really. But there is established literature on the astral body. So we have some aspects to explain why we travel outside of our bodies during sleep, why we feel things like deja vu, why we have these near-death experiences and people come back and say they saw angels and God and Jesus and whatever. There's things to explain this because it still happens. And what it does is it starts to tap into the light bulb of the astral body, and you begin to see something flickering beyond the mere definition of physicality. Something's operating, and it's vastly important because even if we go into the ritual of burial, in terms of the prehistoric human beings, there's still a burial ritual. When we get into the idea of the underworld, when we get into the idea of Egyptian and tombs and the procedures of death and the afterlife, all of this still stems, yes, from imagination, but that's still within the brain and that's still tucked away in the pituitary gland.
Well, you mentioned
the pineal gland.
Which gland is it? You mentioned, you know, near-death experiences, and it's interesting because the problem, I think, with those experiences, yes, there is some kind of clue that there is something else beyond that people have experienced when they've died and are brought back to life. But then the interpretation of what those experiences mean, you know, people say, oh, well, I was in heaven. Well, you know, based on how one would interpret someone's progression through life and their ultimate transcendence, or whether they're coming back, you know,
yeah,
they die and come back. That's really, I mean, that's the gray area, because, you know, then people start reaching these conclusions about the afterlife based on this very, very short visit. And then, you know, it's convoluted, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the destination, whether it's heaven, the astral realm,
you know, whether it's a brief stop that they're going on, or whether their soul is going to remain in this, you know, people talk about being in a bright white light, so on and so forth, and this feeling of complete ecstasy, but it doesn't mean that's, you know, the ultimate destination.
No, the only thing that can be firmly discussed is the experience, the process,
exactly,
that something is happening. Where we go, that's subjective. But what is
or
subjective?
What that place is that they do visit and what it means is subjective. You know, what?
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that every human being has had dreams or some strange experience. Most human beings on the planet has had some kind of experience that defies credibility.
It defies reality. It defies
reality.
Physicality.
Everyone has. And whether you put it to just, you know, the brain, imagination, whatever. I mean, those are soft core answers. They don't really explain specifically what is going on. A doctor can come in and talk about the mechanics of the brain and how we visualize, and that's a part of the brain, and that's all it really is. It's just part of the phenomena of being a human being, that we can imagine and feel things and imagine. And then it may stop there. As soon as you start attaching things to it, like soul, and spirit and afterlife and past lives and heaven and hell and all that, dimensions. Now we're getting into an area that takes a quantum leap from the mere fact that the brain can imagine to the extent that there is a vehicle, an energy within the human body, such as in this, our case, the astral body, that actually travels outside of the physical body, experiences things, and that upon death of the physical body is released and journeys beyond death. So now we're getting into this element, what is that energy? The one thing we can base it on, even for some skeptics, is that there is this idea that we sometimes experience things outside human consciousness, that there is something within us that we experience. Some people may just say it's imagination. That's all it is. It's all it is. And yes, you can elevate the psyche into such an extent that you can feel like you're flying, or that you've been somewhere, or that you were talking to people in another world. But it all just is the result of the brain imagining. Well, okay, maybe that's true. Maybe it is true. Oh. But for our purposes, we're extending the definition into the astral body, which is the energy of the soul. The astral body actually contains the soul, and within the soul is the spirit. So it's physical body, soul, and spirit. The astral body begins at the level of the soul. And from there, then, that soul has still connections with the planet Earth, because soul is what travels through past lives from one lifetime to another, jumping from one energy to another, experiencing all these things. The soul is what goes to the astral realm, to the etheric elements, and to that mid-space between lifetimes where one discusses their life with angels and guides and spirits. Now we're getting into a whole host of characters, again, that leaves the plane of rational thinking. It's not rational. It's irrational. But human beings are also irrational creatures. We do things that we can't explain. It happens every day. Look in the news. Things happen all the time that have real no explanation. Even in terms of the physicality, the shooter in Las Vegas, no one really knows the true motive. Maybe they do, but nothing's really come out to explain it. We are rational beings and we're irrational beings. We are grounded human beings and we're ungrounded. So we have this contrast, that there's a contradiction within uniformity of being a human being. We're not uniformly all one. We have these separations of ideas and beliefs, some of which are more accented by true life experiences, more or less than the study of what may be. Because to some of us, we can fathom all we want about the origins of Mars fathom about the origins of Mars or what's going to be on the galaxies. You know, we can go into all this Carl Sagan stuff and try to assume that there's universes beyond, but we haven't touched those areas yet. The same thing with the soul. We can surmise that there's something more to life than pure physicality. And there's something more to the purpose of just an immediate existence. That is just, we're born and we die, and that's it. Story closed. For those that believe that, that's fine. But for those that venture out into the world of the astral realm and the astral body, now we're looking at a different meaning of existence, because meaning is not just contained within one lifetime. Meaning is the root of meaning is that it comes from other existences.
Other existences.
Other lifetimes.
Other lifetimes, existence on the soul plane outside of being in the physical body, which are all brought into the experience of the current life.
Yes, which involves why not all of us are born equal. We're born, not all of us are born equal.
I know.
That's just a fact. Some of us deform, born to rich families, poor families, higher intelligence, lower.
I all men were created equal. That's in, a political mind frame.
For the process of
equality of citizenship and all rights, and for that purpose, yes, all men should be created equal in that manner. But really, we come in with our individual strengths and weaknesses, and our crosses to bear.
And that is the beginning of the table of contents of the soul.
Okay, so we're going to continue in a moment, but we have a caller, 857. Hi there.
Hi, Happy New Year. How are you today?
Good, thank you. Happy New Year to you. Can you speak up, please? Because you're kind of quiet.
Can you hear me now?
It's better, yes. Hi.
Okay, hi. Hi. Are you taking readings? Oh,
yes.
Good. You sound excited about that.
Good. What's your name?
My name is Gwen.
Gwen, we've spoken with you before, Gwen, have we not?
Yes. Yes, we have some time ago.
Okay,
yes.
But I don't remember your birthday. I apologize for that. Is that GWEN?
Oh, please don't apologize. Yes.
Okay.
Birthday is 4/6/1964.
1964.
Yes.
30 or 30 equals 3. All right. And you're located where?
I'm in Massachusetts.
Okay. Massachusetts. Gwen in Massachusetts. Yes. I bet it's cold there. Gosh,
actually,
it's really cold,
today,
isn't it?
Well, no, today is probably in the 40s.
Really?
But there is a storm, a major storm, that is heading our way tonight.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the supermarkets are jammed. Yeah.
Well, wasn't it like zero temperatures? Was it your, I don't know if Massachusetts was included in that. But
yeah, it was yesterday. Yesterday.
Yeah, wow. And so
closed.
That's a dramatic change to 40 degrees.
Yes.
My goodness.
Yes,
it's unpredictable the weather patterns have really changed. Well, Gwen, did you have a question? I'm sorry to bore you about the weather here.
Oh, you're not. You're not boring me. Not at all. Not at all. I thank you for taking my call. My question is in regards to there is a friendship that has been on the rocks for quite some time, and personally, I don't want to carry the guilt with me into the new year in regards to this friendship. And I just, I don't know this. I don't know anything about twin flames and soulmates. I don't know about any of this, but people have said that this person is my soulmate and my twin flame, and that no matter what, I cannot break the bond that's between us. I personally don't feel the bond. I don't. I just basically kind of want to wipe my hands clean of it and just start in a new cycle and not with this energy of guilt if I was to say goodbye.
Do you have this person's birthday, Gwen?
I have their birthday, but I don't know the year, though.
But do you know how old that person is?
He is 35.
He's 35. Okay, so the birth date.
His birthday, I think it's February 9th.
So it's coming up.
Yes.
February 9th, and he's going to be 36 then, correct?
Yes.
So I'm going to just do a little math here quickly. So he would have been born in 1982. And so has this ever reached a romantic place?
No. Mm-mm, no. Nope.
And you can certainly have, I guess, a twin flame relationship that's not a romantic relationship, but typically, mm-hmm. Typically the categorization would be, male-female or male-male-female-female that are involved in a romantic union. You're not interested in this person in that way and never have
I
been?
I was, but to be honest with you, I was, but then I started to see his behavior, and it basically turned me off to the point where, I got to be honest with you, his behavior scares me. It frightens me. Because it's familiar to me and not in a good way. His behavior, it scares me. It makes me feel anxious. and I feel a lot of anxiety with his behavior. And the thing about his behavior is that he's silent. He doesn't say anything. He won't let you know anything. It's almost like he keeps you. It's almost like emotional abuse.
Gwen, I'm glad you were talking because we lost you briefly. Actually, we didn't lose you, but we got disconnected from the switchboard. And so I was crossing my fingers that you were still there. And we missed what you said, unfortunately, because I was dialing back in on a phone. So just,
well, as I was saying, this person's behavior scares me. It actually frightens me. It sends me into anxiety. And it's not like it's aggressive, but it's passive aggressive, where he's silent.
No,
it's like all of a sudden,
which is aggression,
like all of a sudden,
but it's just in a different.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's not in a external way.
Yeah,
it's
all of
more,
a sudden he'll,
it's external, but it's not typically.
Yes,
aggressive.
All of a sudden he'll stop talking, and just wouldn't have anything to say to you or to do with you, and it kind of leaves you like, okay, what happened? It's
so,
like 1 minute, you know, he'll talk to you, the next minute he won't. It just goes back and forth, and you never know where he's at, so you're in a place where you don't know where to step, like a minefield.
Right.
And I just,
so
like, I'm like, I'm
kind of
don't want to do this.
Relationship.
Yeah,
so
I don't want
to
deal with
it. Is there
that.
I mean, just briefly, is there a mm-hmm. I mean, do you have a desire to maintain the relationship, or do you want to separate? I mean, what do you want to do, Gwen?
I don't want to maintain this because it's gone on for so long that to me it feels abuse. It just doesn't feel good to me.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would say, you know, you're not obligated to be in any kind of relationship with this person. As far as the soulmate and twin soul thing goes,
mm-hmm.
a soulmate is someone that you've connected with on the soul plane.
Mm-hmm.
You share karma with them. It's very common. A twin soul
mm-hmm.
is, you know, I mean, you're going to read all kinds of crap about twin soul relationships,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to hear all kinds of, but this crap, can't speak. I mean, you two are not twin souls. You're not twin souls. You're not
no.
So you don't need to be worried about breaking some kind of bond with this person if
okay.
you exit from the relationship.
Okay.
Twin soul relationships are very rare, and they've been kind of,
okay.
you know, kind of popularized
yeah.
in a way that's really not accurate.
Makes it
so
seem like it's romantic
to
suffer.
I'm sorry?
They make it seem like it's romantic to suffer, the runner and the chaser. Oh, my God, and you got to run. I'm like, really? This
yeah,
like
well, that's
ridiculous.
Not even the true those are not the true character. I mean, defining the twin soul relationship by characteristics is a contradiction anyway, because it's a twin soul relationship can't be defined by characteristics that two people share. I mean, that's just not how it works.
Mm.
But in the twin soul union, the characteristics are not going to be those that are, you know, well, one is, you know, running away and the other is,
yeah.
you know, chasing.
Chasing.
It is it's an advanced bond. These are souls that have advanced very, very high in a spiritual
yes.
realm, you know, and are
mm-hmm.
on the planet kind of on their last walk. So you're not going to be dealing with that kind of crap. But anyway,
exactly.
Neil, go ahead,
exactly.
Neil. I'm sorry to monopolize.
Yeah,
because he scares me. He gives me anxiety. There's something about him that really scares me, and I feel a sense of anxiety. There's almost like this. Oh, I can't. It's like there's something about him that's just kind of that. I don't know if I should say this, but it's like I'm afraid to. I just wouldn't want to be his girlfriend because I don't think he's nice. I don't think he's nice.
Well, Gwen, Kristen said it very accurately. Kristen said it very accurately, Gwen. I mean, we can have histories with people from past lives,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
there can be unions. That's
That's common. So, but unfortunately, we tend to read into that and think it's really, really significant. It can be, but
right.
But there's a commonplace thing about it. When you first started talking and you mentioned this other person, I perceived this feeling of moodiness.
Yes.
And just kind of depression, and there's no stability there. So I was perceiving that before you went on to elaborate upon this person's character.
Mm-hmm.
There is indeed, not to say that everyone who has these numbers has the same experience, but oftentimes someone who has a 2-9, 29 in their energy, 29-11-2, with an 11 factor in there, and he also has a year of 1982, that's an 11. They can often have a dark side.
Yes.
And what that means is you're not certain, because when you experience their dark side, it's not like a normal person. You feel like, oh, God, this is magnified. It's kind of scary because there's no predictability here.
Mm.
And the person can become so detached from the other person that it's almost like, who are you? You're like, did you take something? Are you on a drug?
Yes.
Is this a zombie land? Is this invasion of the bodies?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. So we have other callers, but to answer your question, Gwen.
Wow.
Yes, there's something going on in the history of this human being's soul that takes on this darkness, and it's not something you need to feel guilty about if you separate. Probably better that you do separate.
Mm-hmm.
Probably better that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because there's no consistency there, and there's no extreme dialogue that helps you feel comfortable. So, you know, to answer your question briefly, you know, I don't want to put the person down, but just for an opinion sake, you know, move away from this individual and create a new life with other people. And, you know, we wish him well and all that.
I would say, you know, just lastly, that in no case, even if there was a twin soul union, you know, is it necessary to stay in a relationship where you're being abused? I mean, probably those two are not synonymous anyway, a twin soul relationship and abuse. But, you know, people shouldn't be giving you guidance. Oh, stay with this person because you have to. And you need to just bend over for them. I mean,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But no, you hit the nail on the head. He's moody, and it's like one minute, you know, one day he seems great, the next minute he's moody. I mean, it's like he'll look right through you as if you're not even there. And it freaks me out. It scares me. It really it's scary to me. It really is because it's like I'm seeing something that does not feel good. I'm just glad that we never got to a point where it became where we were physically intimate. Then I would have a real problem. It would do some damage to me.
So our advice, Gwen, is to definitely separate and, you know, perhaps seek somebody else this new year. I mean, you know, I'm sure that there are other opportunities for relationship in your future. But we wish you well and check back in with us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Many blessings.
You're welcome. Blessings
to
you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so 334 is next and then 561. Hi, 334. Oh. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you.
Hello. You're welcome. Hi.
I just have a question about love. Do you see love coming in for me?
Love coming in. What's your name?
Shakira.
Shakira. Yeah.
How do you spell?
Shakira. Is that right?
No, it's Shekeira.
Oh. Okay. Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, Shakira. What's your birth date?
May 9th, 83.
5983. Have we spoken with you? Yes? Or no?
We probably did earlier this year. I don't remember. But.
I can't either. You're familiar, but I can't place you exactly. So 5983, 14, 24, 35 equals 8. Wow. Well, this year. This year is a change for you. It's a big change, Shakira.
Mm-hmm.
you're turning 35, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So, yeah, you're going to be going through a big change. I mean, do you think there's love in her future? I mean, I think there's a relationship for her out there.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think there's love coming at the age of 35. I mean, your crossover is from a 9 to an 8 in your code.
And she's got a 5-3 in her first and last, too. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we believe there's going to be love this year. It may not come till before May, but somewhere between May of this year up to May of next year, a relationship, somewhere in between those two dates. So,
okay.
And in fact, this could potentially result in a marriage. In other words,
okay.
the relationship could move so deep into a zone that it becomes very attached. And very dependent upon one another, and you fall in love and that kind of thing, where, yes, you could experience it. Now, prior to this moment in time, have you ever had a relationship with anybody that was, you know, romantic and up to 3 years in duration?
No.
You've
never been 17. I was in a 17-year relationship with my kid's father, and it was always, you know, it was a toxic relationship. We just broke up.
You have kids, and you have the father of those kids. How long were you in a relationship with the father?
We were together 17 years.
Yeah. So the answer to my question, have you ever had a relationship that was at least 3 years in duration? The answer
I thought
is,
you said a romantic
yes.
one.
What I mean by romantic, Sharika, is that there was Shakira. Is that
mm-hmm.
there was intimacy, you know, whatever you want to call
yes.
it.
Oh yes, yes.
Intercourse. So mm-hmm. there was, and you have children. So,
right.
so you had, and that was 17 years. That you see, the 17 is in your relationship between the 9 and the 8 in your birthday code. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
did you have? You know, the one thing, this has nothing to do with the relationship, but there seems to be like 2 children and then 1. How many children do you have altogether?
I have 2.
So yeah, because I felt 2 and then 1.
Was there a miscarriage?
Was there anything
like
yeah,
that?
Anything loss of a child? Any abortions? Anything?
No, sir.
Mm. Oh, so would you entertain the idea of ever having another baby?
I would want another one, you know, in a good relationship.
Okay. So here's what we're thinking.
Or it could be someone who has coming in with a child,
It could be that. But here's, it could
okay,
be that.
Ahead. Sorry.
But the next relationship you have could result in having another child. But this relationship would be nice. It's a nice one. So we
okay.
think there's a nice relationship coming up within the year that you are 35 years old. And that from that relationship, ultimately, it may produce another child because I was seeing 2 and then I said, and 1. You already have the 2, so that means that somewhere in your journey on this planet, another child may be coming.
Okay.
And your idea of having another child is connected to being in a relationship that feels good. If you're in love and it's reciprocal, then you might entertain the idea of having a child. We're suggesting
right.
that that's very probable now.
Okay.
So we think a relationship's coming for your question about love life for this year, a relationship coming somewhere between May of 2018.
You have to wait a while.
you fall in love and you go to a rest home and you fall in love with the And 2019, somewhere in there. You know, that's only 5 months away as the
right,
beginning point.
It could be even, you know, coming in sooner than that, depending.
Could be.
Yeah,
could,
you think it's too
I hope
later, but that's okay.
Could be.
But,
you
know.
You look for there's going to be somewhere in your future, if there isn't already, there's going to be a cat, C-A-T.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a cat?
No, but it's cats around my house. I feed them. But
okay, so there's a cat. Well, but there's probably in the future. And it's a validation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you take it for that part. That's how we have to answer your question today.
Okay.
Okay, stay connected with us, Shakira.
Will do. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And our final caller, 561.
Hi.
Hi, is this Lena?
No.
No, who's this?
This is Stacy.
Oh, Stacy. Stacy. What's your birthday?
12/16/72.
12/16/72?
Yes.
1/6. 1/2/16/72. Okay, Stacy. Hi.
Hello.
Stacy, what brings you to the show today?
Well, I wanted to know what's in store for me this year, because last year was very rough.
Okay. Last year was rough, and what's going to happen this year?
Pretty much, yes, or starting off.
Okay. And you are, gosh, you just turned 45, right?
Correct.
5 years old. So, have we spoken with you before, Stacy?
Yes, we have.
And when was that?
About 2 weeks ago, I guess.
Was it 2 weeks ago? My goodness. I don't think. My memory today is, like, not what it usually is. I'm not remembering. Oh. Huh. Do you have a note?
Yeah. So, we had that, you had job problems, your daughter, you wanted to move out, your single mother's group, your daughter's
group.
We talked about a cruise and flowers.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've got. Yeah. I just happen to have the notes handy.
So your daughter is the one who reported you to Child Protective Services, right?
Yes, she's moved out.
So
the day she turned 18, she left.
She left, so she's gone now. And
right.
Okay. So that's interesting because.
Well.
Huh.
The thing that you could possibly experience this year. We talked about cruises and trips and stuff, but what you could possibly experience this year is meeting an individual who is more leaning towards romance than not.
Didn't we talk about that on the last show, too? You don't have a note, but I said it. I said, would you? Yeah, I asked her. Do you remember, Stacy? I asked you if you wanted a romantic relationship, you would be interested in a relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah. That part I don't recall.
I remember now.
Coming in fresh with that statement.
Yeah.
What we're looking at is this year you finding romance again, love. Things becoming in this year, the person that we're talking about would have the means to take you on a cruise, would have the means to take you away, travel a little bit, nothing much, but it's nice. But the person is no outstanding. They're just a common, nice person, but somebody that you could fall in love with. You don't have to worry about, you know, him cheating, or he's just a good person. Nothing obnoxious, or, you know, he's not ugly or anything. He's just a good guy. And there seems to be something that you experience where you grow content with this person, given the fact that it would move forward in time and stay intact. That's what seems to be coming up for you. You've had some harsh experience with your daughter. That's unfortunate. We think your daughter is a very rebellious spirit. And it's hard to handle anyways.
I think on the last show we said that the daughter might, you know, come back. after leaving, you know, there might be that.
Yeah, there might be something like this.
Yeah, happening.
Rebellious, but you know what? You can't solve that one. She's a wild stallion. You just have to let it be. But so if we separate you from her for a moment, then there's a more of an area of happiness and content. So we're looking at something that has the potential of being very positive. And, you know, the thing you'd have to do is kind of wait for this person to surface. Are there any male figures around you as we speak that are potentially romantic?
No. Is there any opportunity? Like, what are your activities outside of, you know, your home life, work, that would...
I actually don't have one right now. Right now I'm just focusing on clearing out my house, whether to move, whether to sell, you know. My space is like right here, me right now, because it's hard for me right now to... It's been
well,
so
traumatic.
So,
you know, what you have experienced with your daughter is traumatic for you, and so you're working through that. What do we ask what she does? What do you do? What do you do for work?
I'm in the medical field, but I'm in between jobs because my client died in November. So,
oh, okay.
Just trying to.
And how?
I'm sorry.
Are you like a nurse's aide or a caretaker? What category?
I'm a nurse.
You're a nurse, like a private nurse?
Yes.
And you're on unemployment right now?
No, because I was an independent contractor, so.
Oh, so you can't can't collect? So how?
Yeah. You know, because you're going through a transition.
She's talking about moving. I mean, she's saying maybe
I
should move.
I'm clearing out the house, things that I don't need, but I'm just preparing myself. So when I go back out there, see, you know, I just don't want to sit and wait and just, I need to keep my mind focused.
Yeah, because you're preparing for a transition, a change. That's what
right.
Happening.
And you
right.
You own your home, Stacey?
Yes. Because even if I was able to work, I don't think I'd be best at what I do. You understand what I'm saying?
So you're thinking of changing jobs, professions?
I'm not really thinking of changing jobs, but I'm probably thinking of doing something, you know, still do that, but do something else. But what I'm saying...
Right. So not doing the private nursing thing, something in the field,
well,
but
well, going
not.
To work, like... Say ending up November, December, I wouldn't be effective in what I do because I had so much on my plate. So I wouldn't be fair to someone else to, you know, be a help to them when I'm a disaster.
Right. Well,
here's what the territory will be like. You're getting ready to make a transition. So the transition, there's now a shift in your life going on, Stacey, and during that shift, you're cleaning out, you're reassessing, and you're getting ready to enter yet another door of your life, which probably, I hope it would come before December. The tail end of the experience might not be until next December, but let's hope it comes sooner, because you're in the process of changing right now, and that's going to go on for a little bit of time. So what you have to do is clear out and just get focused and think about yourself and your own energy and feeling healthy and balanced. That's when there seems to be a connection to romance.
I wouldn't say that she should sell her house right now. I would say get a job. First, because she mentioned selling.
I know I can't sell right now. I know.
Yeah.
But it has crossed my mind whether to do that or to stay here, you know.
Well, right now, I mean, you can eventually sell, perhaps, but I don't think right now would be the time
to do it. Right, I'm not thinking that at this moment in time, but it's popped up in my head. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you're probably bound to move at some point. Have you been in this house 6 years or under?
No, I've been in here, what, almost 15?
Oh, 15. I see what I'm doing. The 15 becomes the six in numerology. That's where I'm getting the six. I'm going to a numerical standard. So the, give it, just wait, clear out, clean up your life, get really focused and take care of yourself. And somewhere within the midst of this year, at least the first step, after you've kind of grounded yourself, Stacy, there seems to be a love situation.
Yeah. So, Stacy, keep in touch with us. Let us know, you know, what, how things progress. You can join us here on Blog Talk Radio or on Facebook. We'd appreciate if you did that. And, keep us posted.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. And we are actually out of time today. We're out of time. The show is ending. So we are back at our normal time. We were a little late broadcasting today, but we are back on the air at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on Friday this week. So thanks, callers and listeners. Speak with you then. Bye-bye.